One and all. Good. Now, I guess we don't need that, correct? Just great. Thank you. Well, today is the church picnic, and we're incorporating in it a time of celebration. The journey over the last 3 years has been an interesting one, hasn't it? Something like we've never experienced before. And of course, during that time, a lot of us complained just about the restrictions that were brought on us, what we couldn't do, what we could only do, and it caused some concern. But I have to say that I have, especially here at Grace, I appreciated your flexibility. I always say in camp work, one of the words you use quite frequently is flexibility. Why is that? Well, things change in a moment, and you have to be flexible to move on to the next event or whatever is taking place. Now, when I say that, I have to commend our two couples who got married during COVID. Their wishes did not come to full fruition. And what do I mean by that? Well, they couldn't have the celebration they wanted. And I felt bad too, because with both couples, I was expecting a steak supper. But we didn't have it. But I have to commend them for going ahead. And of course, we have Adrian and Jordan, and we have Robert and Marissa. They went ahead, even though limited, they went ahead and got married, and we commend them for that. And then, of course, we have to mention that we have little Thomas. I don't know if you ever noticed him or not, but he is starting to walk. Is he running yet? Yes, he's starting to run. Wow. I get tired when I see these little guys hustling about, but we praise God for him. And Adrian and Jordan, they're going to help increase the Sunday school as well. So we thank the Lord for them. And the other thing that we need to be grateful in our time of celebration is the fact that both families are engaged in Grace Bible Chapel. And for that, we want to say thank you. We appreciate you. We're here for you. So these are the things. And today, if you're young, they're going to be able to celebrate outside in the ways that they like to, in the activities that are before them. I'd like to turn in our Bibles today, and I want to start off in the book of Genesis. Good place to start, isn't it? At the very beginning. There's two things I want to today celebrate. That is, we see God's plan in marriage, and secondly, God's plan for the local church. And you say, well, why do you bring the local church into this? Because I believe that through the difficult times, it's great to have a body, a fellowship that can help us through these times. And we'll leave that to a little later. And anyway, yeah, we have some teens in here today, and for the sake of those that have the children, wherever they are, I was going to say downstairs, I'm not certain, we will aim to keep it just, I don't want to use the word brief, because that doesn't happen to a preacher. No, we'll keep it a little shorter this morning. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, And I just want to break in at verse 19. I'm sorry, 20 it is, and it's the partway through. But for Adam, no helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then Moses goes on to write, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, we stop to think of marriage this morning, and who was the designer of it? I think when we talk about marriage, we talk about the local church. The importance lies in the fact that who was the one that orchestrated, who was the one that instituted both? It was God. And we know that God said in creation, as he created different things, when he was done, what did he say? It was good. Now, if God says it's good, it's got to be good. Now, what did he say after he made man? It's not good that man should be alone. Now, not good for man to be alone. Man could not fulfill God's purpose in being alone. It was when God gave him a partner, God gave him a complement or complementary person to work with him. She actually was to complete Adam. And so what we find is, it says that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. It's rather interesting when you start out a marriage. There's no manual, just like for raising kids. There's books we can read, whatever, but I'm thinking of Adam and Eve when they started out. There was no manual for them. No. So they had to look to the Lord. But you know, in our lives, as we go forward as one, you know, and when we start out, we see a couple old people married 50 years plus walking down the street hand in hand. We sort of think, man, is that real or they just need help? Do they just need each other to help them? And in the oneness, you'll find you'll be driving along and your partner will say something, and guess what? You're thinking absolutely the same thing. Now, what do we call that? What do we call that when someone can read your mind? Mind reading. No. Mental what? Telepathy? Yes. No, it's nothing to do with that at all. You know why that happens? It's very simple. Because you both, as you live together as one, your world becomes the same. Your world becomes the same. Your conversation, your involvements. And so I'm not saying this happens, you know, every day, but it happens because you work together as a couple, you become one. Something I ran across, and I just want to share with you this morning, when it's, someone has said that in verses 18 to 25, teaches us much about marriage. And I'm not going to read these in any detail. God instituted it. God intended it to be monogamous, not monotonous. Okay? One woman, completed Adam. We watched a documentary just recently. How many know the name Warren Jeffs? Yeah. He was the cult leader of the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints movement, and he had 70-plus wives. Now, the reason why he was incarcerated, he's in prison today, he had underaged wives. And in the case, what is interesting is one person said, I could be on the prosecution end of it, said that it wasn't that they were bad-mouthing Mormonism, but he was literally breaking the law with the underaged wives. And by the same token, what a terrible life when we think of those other women, because they were just assigned. You were a chattel. You were just, you know, here you go. You're to marry that person. But anyway, we don't need to get into that. One man, one woman. God intended to be heterosexual. What does that mean? Yes, we know what that means. It doesn't support this passage does not support the idea of the same sex. It involves both a physical and spiritual union. The husband was to be the head of the wife. God created Adam before Eve, and he created Eve from Adam. Nextly, the husband was to be the head, or pardon me, the next one was a woman, the woman can be a complete person without a childbearing. Wow, in some cultures, the disrespect for women. A wife's primary function, listen to this, in a marriage, is to complete her husband, not to bear children. Children are heritage from the Lord. Now, we know that God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But he never left that to one man, did he? No. Normally, a couple following the lead of their representatives, Adam and Eve, should be fruitful and multiply. Now, here's something I want to just leave with you that I thought was excellent, and then we're going to move on to the next, to the church. The Family Ministry Organization. Now, I didn't go back to search that, but this is what they said about five purposes of marriage. Marriage should mirror God's image. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. Secondly, we are to multiply a godly heritage. We are to manage God's realm. First of all, it's to mirror. Secondly, it's to multiply. Thirdly, it's to manage God's realm. Fourthly, it's to mutually complete one another. And lastly, and this leads us into our next subject, it models Christ's relationship with the church. Now, I know over the years, I'm over 290 weddings, and I'm going to be closer by the end of the summer to the 300. But, you know, I've had brides look at my ceremony, and, you know, what this word submit, I just don't like how strong that is. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the groom or husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, there isn't one woman in the world would mind submitting to him. And I always find that when it comes to these issues, many times it can be human rebellion, but that doesn't lessen one's character, qualities, or position. A man and woman are equal, but it's the way God designed us. And you know, I even see here at Grace, now I'm going to use an illustration, and they don't know this is coming, okay? So if they get up and leave, you know exactly who I'm referring to, because I'm going to call them by name. Here, not long ago, I told Wally he should be thankful for his dear wife. A lot of us men would acknowledge that. Why? Because they help complete us. I don't know what Wally would do without Alicia. We need each other. And I'm so thankful that the person that God gave to me, that in my life in ministry, has allowed me to work alongside me. Guess what? Like we have, and we're still married. We're still married. Have we had conflicts? No, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. Lie. But you know what? I thank God for the person that God gave me to help complement my ministry. And I'm sure that in your life as well, whether no matter who you are, you look at how your wife and you work together, wow, you make a wonderful team. And keep that in mind that, you know, that is what we should strive for. The problem in so many relationships is the wife is off here, the husband's off here, and the twain hardly ever meet. Just this past while. We heard of a couple who's struggling with their marriage, and he jumps in his vehicle Sunday night and heads back to the city. He's done this for years. And he's back maybe on Friday nights. Now, I know there's people that have to live that way. But you know, if the relationship isn't strong, it helps weaken it, that separation. So anyway, in our lives, one of the things that we should do is, especially in marriage, and I've said this before, an uncle of mine says that we went to visit him on one of his anniversaries. I don't know what it was. And I don't know, it must have been 55. And he said, well, we have to work at it every day. Why? Because you have two different personalities and you work at it every day. Okay, so much for marriage. If you have any questions afterwards, Jerry McRae will be out in the lounge to answer all your questions. No, go to Linda, please. Go to Linda. Okay. The next institution is the church. And I want to start off by saying God instituted the local church. Now, today, just yesterday, my son asked me to run a little errand for him. They live in Elmont, and they have a cottage in our area, and He wanted me to go and check a few things out. The place is, they have it rented right now. And, please. It's right beside you. It's on the seat. I'll give it to Caleb there. He's a lot spryer. Younger. Thank you. I had never met this family before, and so I asked them that it connects with my son. Now, I didn't know whether this was through work, through the church, whatever, so I just asked them if they were believers, and they were. And so the young couple, there was the grandparents, the young couple, and the young couple, the husband, he was outside, and he came in, and so he kind of entered into the conversation, and I said, what church do you attend? And he said, well, right now, we're not attending anywhere. And he named the place in Ottawa that he attended, and which I didn't recognize, but he said, we need to, and this is what I like to hear. Maybe he said it just because he found out I was, who I was. You know what he said? We need to get connected to a local church and be engaged. I like that. I like that. Be engaged. See, sometimes we think of the local church when we come to a church service that it's just an event. We're going to go to this event. We're going to go to church. And then what do? We pack the kids or whatever, ourselves into the car, and we go home and wait for the next event. Is that the local church? No, it's not. Now, the other thing we got to keep in mind, too, is before we start, I want to deal with, or just talk a bit about, the local churches can be dysfunctional just like families, okay? Local churches can be dysfunctional just like families. Now, why do I say that? Because the local church should be a family. The local church should be a family. When we come together, we shouldn't think of it as an event. We should think of it as coming together and meeting with the family of God. And so with that in mind, I want us to go over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And last Sunday, we enjoyed an excellent message from John's brother Peter on the subject of fellowship. I thought at first he was going to take all my material, but no, he did a wonderful job. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Why the church? They devoted themselves, pardon me, in verse 42 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone filled with awe. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers are gathered together, and everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's just back up a bit. Remember Jesus' ministry, and we go to Matthew chapter 16. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, in result of Peter's confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter? Upon this rock will I build my church. We know that Jesus never built the church on a man. It was on that confession of faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And you know what he said? He said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Two things I want to remind you this morning. Number one, it's Christ's church. You know, sometimes I hear pastors and they talk about my church. It's Christ's church, isn't it? It's Christ's church. That's what we have to keep in mind. Secondly, do you know what he said about the church? I find this very interesting. Okay, let's just stop for a moment. Do perfect people dwell, reside in, or a part of the local church? No. And I find it interesting that Christ loves the church and he gave himself for it. But you know what he said? He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, today in this world, no matter how desperate it gets and wicked and all the rest of it, Jesus is still building his church. Jesus is still working in the hearts of men and women. And see, the church is not the building, it's the people inside. And so what we have here today is a local representation of the church, of the universal church, which is every believer in all the world. We come to grace this morning, and we have here a representation of the body of Christ. And Jesus said, I'm going to build it. I think we do well sometimes if we get out of the way and let Jesus do the building. Sometimes we think we can do, oh, but listen, when we get out of the way, do you know what that means? We're dependent on Him. See, sometimes we think we're going to do it, but it's the work of the Spirit of God. Can you convince anybody really to give their life to the Lord? No. See, we're dead in trespasses and in sins outside of Christ. What can you do for a dead man? Obviously, nothing. The same thing with someone who's dead spiritually. Oh, yes, we have our responsibility, but it's the work of the Spirit of God in their lives to bring conviction and to show them their need of Christ. Isn't that what happened in our lives? I remember when I was young, and can you really remember when you're done young at my age? Well, I can remember this part of my life. Yes, I knew what it was like and lived knowing that I wasn't saved. I remember that. And I well remember the night I gave my heart to the Lord. Now, I will build what? My church. And just remember, folks, it doesn't matter how bleak things get around us. We think we're in the minority. Guess what? He's going to complete His church. And that's what Jesus is waiting for. In His return back, He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Like, I don't know what the numbers are before Jesus comes and need to be saved, but you know what? I have to resign myself to the fact that God is working. You and I find in my life, and as we'll focus on someone and be reaching out to them and witnessing to them. And here's somebody over here that we also know, and we haven't been really convicted about witnessing to them or praying for them. And you know what? Here they get saved. Have you ever found that happen? I'm sure you have. Yes, God is at work, and we need to thank Him for it. Okay, what are some of the benefits? And we got to hurry up here. What are some of the benefits of being longing to a local church? Wow. We just read here this morning. What did the early church do? Let me just back up a bit. Jesus said, I will build my church. That was something that was going to happen. Future Pentecost. The coming of the Spirit of God. Why was that important? Because when the Spirit of God came, He was going to indwell the church. And we, as believers, are the church. Okay? And so when the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost and indwelt the disciples and those that were present, guess what Peter did? I'd love to be there, folks. Could you think of a revival like this? Peter got up to preach, and nobody got saved. Is that right? 3,000 people came to know Christ. 3,000. And that was a evidence of the fact that the Spirit had come and worked through Peter, and that was the birth of the church. Okay, so as we come to Acts chapter 2, the church met together, and what did they do? It's interesting. When we come to the scriptures, we don't have details as to how, okay, let's say, we're to remember the Lord. Okay? Jesus took the emblems at the end of the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper. But how is it be carried out? We don't have instructions on that. And we don't have, even in the rest of the epistles, we don't have a lot of instruction as to how we're to go about a service. But what we are to do is, as we find here, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one. Okay, why do we belong to a local church, I believe? It's number one, is that we sit under the proclamation of the Word of God. Okay? And I think as we see the days approaching, it's more important that we sit under the ministry of the Word of God, because there are so many ideas out there. There are so many false teachers. And to bring us back to what the Scripture has to say. Secondly, what did they do? Well, their sermon last Sunday was on fellowship. It's a wonderful place in the local church to fellowship, to come together. And the old saying is, there's strength in numbers, but there's encouragement in numbers. You know, as we gather together as God's people, we can fellowship. Why can we fellowship? Because we have something in common. Okay? Do you ever try to have a conversation with somebody that had nothing in common with you? It's pretty dire. It's pretty difficult. And this is one of the things that I've appreciated over the years, over 50 years in traveling to different churches and different people's homes. Do you know what? I find there's people that I can connect with, obviously. Why? Because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I have relatives I can't connect with. Why? Well, only we can connect on the basis that we're related, but in our conversation, we don't have very much in common when it comes to talking about the things of the Lord. And so when we come together to fellowship, I believe that is very, very important. Why? Well, have you ever heard of the word depression? We live in such a negative world today. And you have the news. You know, you're better sometimes not to, if you're prone to depression, don't listen to the news. All that we seem to hear is bad things, isn't it? No, what I'm saying is simply this. See, when I come together with you, believe it or not, okay, I speak from the heart, I speak truth. Even coming here and fellowshipping with you, guess what? I'm uplifted. I'm encouraged. So you say, well, why? Why encouraged? Well, I'm just encouraged that you folk are excited. When I look up and I see the number of people taking part, when I see the people, this morning, I felt terrible when I drove in here and I saw people rushing around doing things. We used to do that. We ain't doing it anymore. Not because we can't or we don't want to. We're not able to. And when I see people running around and busy, wow. But then I got to think, hey, praise God, there's people who have a desire to do that for the boys and girls. And I'm even going to be more grateful when I sit down to eat your food, okay? So, anyway, first of all, we come together because of the Word of God. Second, sure, and it's great to have Bible studies with those that are connected in a Bible-believing church. But, oh, here's one here that we can't emphasize enough. It's the prayer support of the local church. It's the prayer support of the local church. I want to be part of a body that you not only pray for me, but I can pray for you. And I believe that is very, very important, and the Scripture bears that up. The next thing, the fourth thing I want to mention is, and this is huge, they sold their possessions. What we're going to ask you to do at Bethel is bring your deeds in next Sunday of your properties, and we'll, now, is the care of the local church. You know, really, there's no people like God's people when it comes to caring for those that are in need. Now, I'm talking, first of all, within the body of Christ. Now, we have this carried out in the New Testament church. What about the need at Jerusalem? Also in the book of Acts, we have, what about the famine that was to come? And they were encouraged to get gifts together to help out those in times of famine. Wow, folks, I think if we ever, the church was ever going to need one another, that day is very, very close. Because we see in our world today, the rich are getting richer. I was told this was going to happen. The rich were going to get richer and the poor get poorer. The middle class guy, he's going to be squeezed one way or the other. Now, okay, what about caring for people? Do you know what in our lives, my life, I know in my wife's life, you know, we talk about experiencing God. Sometimes we think it's in experiencing God that we have to get a light from heaven or we have to have a funny feeling, all the rest of it. Listen, I believe we experience God when we're able to reach out into people's lives. And as we help them in whatever way, wow, the blessing that comes back and the encouragement in your heart when we see them respond in a positive way. Mom and some kids were walking down the street one Sunday morning, all dressed up. And a little guy that they knew in the street, I think was only a child, or at least he didn't mingle with their family. And he come up and he says, "Are you guys going to a party?" Okay, the mom and her children, "Are you going to a party?" And they said, and the mom spoke up and said, "Yes, we are. We're going to church. And if you'd like, you go and ask your mom if you can come. We'll wait for you." Apparently, it wasn't long till the little guy comes running back, you know, spiffed up, ready to go to church. First Sunday, his first time at church. So he goes in and he enjoys the hot chocolate and what the treats. Away he went home. But you know what? He continued to go with them and stayed. And then, guess what? The family came. And the story went on to talk about the mother being baptized. And I thought, just in a simple way of reaching out to people, showing that we care, we're concerned. And isn't that part of a family? Isn't that part of a family? Is reaching out and caring for one another. Okay, as a place to serve, I'm going to conclude here. It's a place for us to serve God, and obviously it's a place to worship Him. We are a family. Our oldest boy lives in Canada, and I think I've mentioned before, I usually get about maybe two calls a week, calling up and just asking, say, "Dad, what did you do today? What kind of a week are you having?" Now, I'm not as good at this as he is. But why I'm sharing the story is the fact that, you know, really, as a dad, and it isn't that I don't call him up, but he does this consistently. "Dad, what did you do today? Dad, how are you feeling?" Or, you know, if he heard I, you know, had a cough or whatever, he was concerned. I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that he's concerned, and when he shares that concern, I believe it's even on a deeper level. I know he prays for us, and we pray for them. I think in this illustration, sometimes we just wait for others to make the move. Okay? Have you ever had a relationship where it was all one way? Excuse me. We know lots of them. But that's okay. But see, those of us that want to be engaged, let's make it a two-way effort. If someone calls you, yes, call them back. Or you be the one that's the initiator and reach out to people as a family and trust God that we'll be an encouragement for one another. Let's not be a dysfunctional church, and I'm not stating we are, but we could be. Let's be a thriving, live church that demonstrates that we are the family of God and that we love and we want to care for each other. Shall we pray? Father, today, I just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders that we have in the scripture. But Lord, we know that's not all about knowledge. Lord, it's about practice. We also know that practice is important, that we model the scriptures, that we seek to model those that have gone on before us. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon this assembly. I pray your blessing upon each one. We think of the marriages that have taken place. We think of little Thomas who is in our midst. And we think of the little one that Jordan is carrying. Lord, we just lift them all up to you, thanking you for them. And thank you for the reminder of the importance of marriage. And thank you for the reminder of the family of God and the importance of the local church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Parody Beth is coming. Do you have a song?